Good morning. Welcome back. July 16th, Thursday. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast on the Rehoboth Social Podcast Network. I am Tom. I will be your host for the next 30 minutes. How's everybody doing? It's one of those mornings. You know those clouds that have that black bottom to them? You can feel the coolness in the air, like the season's getting ready to start changing. Hello, winter.
Broad shouldered bees fill the sky. Manhattan bees at the night. But you are wrapped up in white, curled up in fright. So I took you to the city for the night, to dance under dizzy silver light. But for a moment you were wild, with abandon like a child, just a moment. But wasn't it you who said I was not free? And wasn't it you who said I needed peace? And now it's you.
Good morning. How is everybody doing today? If you had to apologize. I don't know. Had a great, great morning. Went for a nice run this morning on the sand and the beach. Whew, man, that is the great equalizer, that sand. I don't ask much from it. I don't ask much for the run. I just want to show up, grind through it, take what it gives me, and start the day. And that's all I can ask. And the run this morning gave me a lot of gratitude. You know, put me in the moment. I mean, that run keeps me so present. I mean, at one point of the run, I ran with my buddy Carlos this morning, and I just get behind him, and I just, you know, and I just follow his feet. You know, I don't think about 10 feet in front of him. I don't think about what's to my right, what's to my left. I don't think about what's behind me. I'm just looking at his feet, and it's just keeping me in that moment. You know, I talked to him last night, and he's like, oh, man, it's going to be high tide. Every day it's a little higher. Every hour it's higher. And what happens when you run after high tide is that the sand is just so fluffy and soft. You know, the ideal run for me, at least on the beach, is when it's kind of compact. You know, I mean, I don't mind sinking in a little bit, but I like some stability. And so last night he's like, you know, it's going to be high tide. Oh, man, I hope we can, you know, he likes to make fun of me is what he likes to do. And he's like, I hope you're going to be able to make it. And I'm like, you know, I got this. It's no big deal. And he was right. It was high tide and the sand was fluffy, you know, but it was just perfect. You know, you can run right in that sweet spot where the ground is pretty firm, but the only problem is that the ocean comes washing up every once in a while and you get, you know, soaked. Not soaked, but your feet definitely go underwater. But we're running barefoot, so it's, you know, it's no big deal and it's nice. The water's at a great temperature. It's probably 70 something, 74, 73. I mean, it's just beautiful. And that water comes over your feet, and it's very nice. And as the water, you know, recedes, the sand is kind of silky, and it just feels good. You know, but, you know, listening to him last night, and I started getting a little bit of fear. afraid. Am I going to fail? I just didn't stay in the moment, you know. And I didn't really get that frightened, but, you know, that's just a great example. You know, I've shared with people and my friends, and, you know, when I'm going through problems, when people are going through problems, you know, my first suggestion is, you know, let's get in the moment. Let's just get right into the moment right now. Right here, right now, I'm perfectly safe. There's nothing to be afraid of right here, right now. Perfectly safe. There's nothing here. I'm sitting on a chair at a table, looking at my laptop, talking to a microphone, sharing some of my thoughts for the day. I'm good. You know, but if I bump it out a little more, you know, my first appointment's at 9:45. I usually start at 10. I took someone at 9:45 because they're, you know, their hair's long and it's, you know, it takes longer to do. Now I'm starting to get like, okay, I'm starting to feel a little anxious because I'm already out of my comfort zone. I've taken someone early because I'm already prepared that this is going to be a, you know, a little more work than usual. Now I'm starting to get a little anxious. And the reality is that, you know, I take this girl a little earlier because her hair's a little longer and I add a little time, so it's not a problem. But bumping out a little, you know, looking to head into the future, even 45 minutes to an hour, and I start creating a little anxiety because I'm not in the moment. I mean, is that the? I know that's a challenge for me. It's that balance. You know, you can't just stay in the moment. You know, I was talking to somebody about this guy that's, you know, doing some stuff for us, and, you know, I'm like, I haven't even, you know, talked to him about this project, and he's like, well, I think he just really likes to stay in the moment. You know, I'm like, hey, have you done this? And they're like, oh no, I hadn't even thought about it. Just staying in the moment, staying safe, staying serene, staying chill. It's cool. You can't live like that because all this shit, all of a sudden, you get surprised all the time. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Oh, my God, I didn't plan for that. But then I can't live constantly in the moment or in the past either. You know, what do they say? If you have one moment, one foot in the future and one foot in the past, that means you're pissing on the present. I thought that was clever. You know, if I'm always planning and living in the moment, or not in the moment, but living in the future, like always prepping and planning. But, you know, it's like that cone, you know, when it's hurricane season, that cone shows up. I used to love hurricane drama. It was like my favorite time of the year, hurricane season. I used to just love that, the cone of potential, you know, where it's, okay, well, there's a chance. You know, that the cone gets wider and you have to prepare for more options. And that's, you know, that can be a habit, you know, preparing. But, you know, you can also spend a lot of time being anxious because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know, you know, what could really happen with the whole big wide plan. But right now I know, and in 1 hour I'll be working. That's very simple. Self-centered fear. What am I not getting? I've said it before, I'll say it again. My only problem I have today in my life are things that inconvenience me. Inconveniences are my only problem. Things that just don't go my way. You know, you can't plan for everything. If you try to, that's what drives you crazy. And you become exhausted. Then you feel like you're doing so much. I have a shirt that says, at some point you may feel like you're doing all the work. And if you're always planning and not staying in the present, yes, you will feel like you're doing all the work because you're doing twice the amount of work. You're planning for this and you're planning for that and it's getting wider. And where's that hurricane going to hit? Even with that, you know, you see it, you're like, okay, potential. Chance hurricane could come. I don't know why I used to love the idea of being hit by a hurricane. I mean, we've been hit a couple times and not even the full brunt of a hurricane. But we've definitely had hurricanes. And usually the outcome is really annoying. Like lose power. Trees come down, you know, houses get damaged, areas get flooded. It becomes a huge inconvenience. But for some reason, there's a part of me that kind of likes that drama, weather drama. Ever since, I don't know, it's probably been about, the last couple years, I've just stopped looking at the future drama, whether it's news, the Weather Channel. I don't watch the Weather Channel anymore. I don't watch the news anymore. The other day, or I guess it's probably, I don't know what day it was, this past weekend, we got hit with a major, I don't think it was a nor'easter. It was definitely a tropical storm. I mean, we probably had more rain here than I think I've ever seen. We probably had 6 inches of rain. I'm like, what's going on? Where's all this rain coming from? My wife's like, I told you a couple days ago. I guess I didn't pay any attention. I was surprised. I watched this podcast last night with Joe Rogan and this guy, I forget his name. It was on last night, so if you're interested, it was the guy I had on last night. I did a podcast via Skype, and this guy basically broke down, our weather. And I'm not a politics guy, so I'm not going to get into a bunch of politics. But that's kind of what the podcast was about, and you know, his feelings on the chances like Trump winning or Biden winning or whatever. But you know, this whole economic thing that we're going through because of this COVID-19 and, you know, the PPP and the payroll protection. PPP stands for Payroll Protection Program, which is a program that the government offered to try to help small businesses stay open and keep their employees while they did this major shutdown. And it really turned out that there was a lot of fraud. A lot of businesses didn't really need the money, applied for it and got it. And, whatever, But, this guy's saying that the real problem is coming. The real problem is coming. And to break it, basically, to break it down is really that we are all living above our means. And I was talking to my buddy about this morning. He's like, it's not fair that you blanket everybody into that. And he's right. I shouldn't say everybody lives above their means, but there's a big portion of people that live above their means. And he's like, we should have never shut down the government, or we should have never put the government in charge of handling small businesses. That should have been the job of governments of that state. And he goes, honestly, we should have all been able to weather that storm without any assistance at all. I don't know if that's true. But that was his philosophy. He's like, back in 1941, 2, 3, 5, 6, whatever it was, after the big war, the government asked this country, because a lot of people went and fought in a war, where we got shut down back then. They all got sent off to war. So, you lost a lot of your people that were attending or visiting your restaurants or your businesses, because a lot of the population, a big portion of it, was off to war. And the government didn't say, due to the fact that we're sending everybody to war and they're not going to come eat your pizza, we're going to go ahead and give you money. That's not what they did back then. In fact, back then they said, due to that, we need to ask more of you. And they sold these war bonds for people to buy, basically creating revenue to support the war and to get the country back going again. And I'm sure I'm fucking that up. But the point was, we didn't bail out the country. And his thought was, we should have been able to weather the storm. And if you weren't able to weather the storm, you're headed to being closed down anyway. We're living on borrowed money, borrowed time. And now inflation's going to show up because we've borrowed so much money or given out so much money that the inflation's going to show up and the value of the dollar is going to drop. And that's going to be really when the second hammer falls. And, I don't know what my means are. I know I don't make a lot of money, but we don't live in a very big house. I mean, we're pretty simple. But I drive a nice car, you know? I should probably drive a cheaper car. I could probably save more money. I'm not very good at that. I'm just like everybody else. I tend to buy things that I want. I definitely don't live the lifestyle that my parents lived when they were in their 50s. My dad only bought used cars. We were much more frugal. That's always been his message. Don't use credit cards. Save money. He was just over last night. Save money. That's his message. It's always been his message. Save money. Don't spend. I'm like, well, that's no fun. My dad, when I was a kid, he's like, all right, I wanted to buy this amp, a Marshall stack. Actually, I wanted to borrow a Marshall cabinet with an ADA head, if anybody knows what that is. But it's basically a guitar amp. It was $1,500. I wanted it. And being the dad that he is, he said, all right, well, maybe we could take this opportunity to help you build a little bit of credit. I'll co-sign on a credit card for you. You make the payments. Absolutely, Dad. I'll make the payments. Automatically living above my means. But I got the amp, made a couple payments, and then I defaulted on the loan. Because I really didn't have the money. I couldn't have the money to pay for the amp and then to also live the lifestyle that I wanted to live. And I was still living with my parents. I was, you know, I was 18, 19, I don't know what I was, but I was young, you know. My mind wanted something that physically I couldn't provide, which is the money. And my dad, you know, he ended up paying the thing off, of course. But that was, you know, that would be the beginning of a lot of, you know, living above my means. But the reality is that my behavior, my addiction, my drinking, my lack of wanting an education, my dad, you know, he sent me to advertising school in San Diego. I mean, I was high and drunk the whole time. They kicked me out. I couldn't pull it together. And that would be my story for the law, a big part of my drinking and using. You know, I remember at one point I was only good for one thing, and my job at one point was to drill a hole in the side of a toner cartridge for a Xerox printer, dump out what was ever in there, refill it, clean it, seal it, package it up. That was my job. I refilled printer cartridges. And I got fired from that job because I kept showing up late. So I really... it was a mess, but, you know, when I finally got sober and started making a little money, you know, we live pretty frugally, but we aren't saving money. We save some. My wife's pretty good about putting money away for us and saving it, but I'm just as guilty. Am I being accountable? Am I taking responsibility for the role that I'm playing? You know, what was most surprising is how many people took this PPP money that didn't need it. And not to throw a blanket over a giant group of people, but that was done by a lot of people. A lot of people would rather have taken the money kind of dishonestly than said no. Which I thought was kind of interesting, you know? I talked about it the other day. I've been watching this, The Men Who Built America, and this first episode was on Daniel Boone. And, you know, God, the life that those guys had to live. You know, being hired by, I don't know who the guy's name was, but he bought this chunk of property in Kentucky, and he wanted Daniel Boone to take, it was, I think, 36, 37 settlers across the Appalachians and build a settlement. Boonesville, I think it was called. Boonesworth, Boonestown, something. Boonesville. And he did it through the woods. I don't know how long it took him to get there. And then they had to chop down all the trees because they were in Indian territory and they were not happy they were there. It's a great series. If anybody wants to check it out, it's on the History Channel. they had done a different one. It was like Vanderbilt, Carnegie. It was that first series, really, really great, very informative. I learned a lot through them. This is a new series. I don't know if it's the second part of this series or if it's a new separate series, but these are the guys like Daniel Boone, Lewis and Clark, just these, guys in history. And, he was, at one point he was caught by the Indians, taken back to the British. The British let him know that he will now be guiding a group of people back to Boonesville or whatever it was called to capture the rest of these settlers. And on the way back to do that, he escaped, took off on his horse and then jumped off on his horse and ran. And man, these Indians were chasing him. He ended up jumping off a cliff into a river. I mean, I'm not sure all the details were exact, but the point was he got away. And the guy says, these guys had to be in great shape. I'm like, and then he ended up running, I guess, 100 miles through the woods over a period of 4 days, which is basically 25 miles a day, which doesn't seem like a lot, but it's a lot. I just ran 4 miles in the sand and I thought I was going to have a heart attack. But he made it back. And then he got finally back to Boonesville. I think that's right. I forget what it was called, but this settlement. And then the Indians showed up and then they, attacked him over the period of 9 days. And on the 10th day, they gave up. But it was just such a hard life back then. You were doing everything for your life to survive. And this guy last night's like, Americans are basically living on, credit and borrowed money. The weird thing that he said was eventually inflation's going to get to such a point that the dollar's going to lose its value and no one's going to want it. Can you imagine getting paid and you can't do anything with your money because it basically has zero value because we've watered it down so much? That's crazy, I don't know what the future looks like for our country or for me or for my family or all of our families. But if I go there, it's kind of scary. It is kind of scary. Fear. That self-centered fear. What am I not getting? It's so weird, man. As I grew up as a kid, I didn't think about anything. What's going on? What are we going to do? What's all the fun? And we go through life and we kind of grind it out, or I kind of grind it out, and it kind of shapes me and reshapes me and tears me down and builds me up. And then I get to this point about 51, I'll be 52 in September, and that cynical side of me starts showing up. All of a sudden, I went through school, I didn't give two shits about history. I mean, I heard of Lewis and Clark. I heard of Daniel Boone. I thought he was just a guy with a raccoon tail hat. I didn't know shit about any of it. I watched that first part of that series, and they talk about the colonies, and, you weren't allowed to cross the Appalachians to settle. You could go over the Appalachians to hunt, but you couldn't settle, because it was all under British rule. I didn't remember any of that. I didn't care. But now at 51, I'm so hungry and starving for history. I want to learn about all of it. I did a podcast with a guy yesterday on, racism and spirituality. I don't know racism. I've heard of it. But I wasn't alive back then. I didn't know anything. I told the guy I'd love to come on the podcast just because I just don't know. I don't know about it. I'm not a racist guy. I love everybody. I don't want to miss out on anything. I don't want to miss out on a story. I don't want to miss out on experiences. I don't want to miss out on relationships, all due to the color of skin. I mean, that would be awful. And the guy asked me, how does I can't even remember the question. Basically, how is racism and spirituality work in your life? And I'm like, I have no idea. You know, the best thing, the best comparison that I could come up with was maybe addiction. You know? My potential for equity was reduced on my behavior. A friend of mine said that racism is the potential for equity due to the color of your skin. Meaning if you have one color, you have a better chance of creating equity in your life, money, property, than if you're a different color. And I you know, the best I could relate to was when I was an addict or, you know, in my addiction. You know, I was definitely profiled back then. You know, at the peak of my addiction in San Diego, I mean, I was selling drugs, I was using them, I was staying up all night. You know, I was trading things for drugs, probably stolen stuff. I mean, I was deep into the crime game, and I didn't, but I'm just, hey, you know, I just want to get high for free. I remember I traded some shotgun for some dope. I mean, I'm sure, stick it in the closet, I don't give a shit, you know. Bikes, you know, whatever. I was part of the crime game, and I didn't even, you know, I didn't think that through. But I know that, like, if I, you know, if I'm riding my bike and I see a cop, I'm taking a different road. I'm turning, you know, whether I was doing something wrong or I wasn't. I just didn't want to have any interaction with the police. And if a cop saw me riding with my long hair on a bike that it was probably, you know, I don't want to say, you know, I never stole a bike, but I traded some stuff for a bike that was probably, you know, the history of the bike was probably shady. So if he sees a long-haired kid riding a bike down the street, he's probably going to pull him over and have a little chit-chat. Profiling. And when, you know, when I got sober, all that fear went away. You know, when I got sober, I remember I was at a meeting one night and I got pulled over because I didn't use my turn signal to pull into a turning lane. I mean, it was a cheap shot pullover. I mean, the guy had, he was looking for one thing, drunk drivers. It's like, I just left a meeting, so it was 9:15. And I remember I had a big piece of anniversary cake in my passenger seat I was taking home for my boys. My kids loved cake, and every time there was an anniversary, I'd always ask, can I have a piece to take home to my kids? Absolutely. And I remember that cop pulled over. I'm like, yeah, I don't care. I haven't done anything. He pulls up. How you doing? Shoves his face in my window, you know, to get a little sniffy sniff to see if there'd been any consumption of adult beverages. And, of course, I hadn't. So I had no fear. There's nothing he can do to me. But that was the best I could relate, you know, to that kind of situation. And my answer really for a lot of that was it's about being accountable. It's a choice. It's a decision that I have to make every day. Do I want to live a free life? Do I want to get up and work hard and try to make my life better? Or do I want to stay with that cloud of addiction over my head and live in that moment? You know, the biggest saving grace for me was my parents. You know, I got in trouble. My dad paid for a lawyer. You know, they bailed me out of a lot of things. And there's part of me that says, you know, my parents helped me too much. I feel like that's kind of what shaped me to be, you know, to allow me to kind of still run the streets and get away with the shit that I was getting away with because my parents kept bailing me out. But, you know, 51 years later, and I look back and, you know, the fact that my parents bailed me out of so many things was what allowed me today to do the things that I do. To have a small business, to have a family, to podcast, to have friends, to get up at 6 in the morning and run on the beach. You know, because they stuck by me, and a lot of people don't have that luxury. You know, I had this conversation with my dad last night. I'm like, first of all, I think, you know, a big problem that we have is probation and parole, even though parole may be is questionable, but probation is just a way that keeps people stuck in the system. You know, if you're you get caught with pot or drinking or whatever, you get arrested, fine. Pay your fine. If you got to go to jail, do your time. Get out and be done with it. Why do we have to be on a probation? You know? Then they make you take drug tests. And, you know, you're just living. And they're testing you for shit that shouldn't even be illegal. I personally don't even feel like drugs should be illegal. I think all drugs should be legal. If you want to go and fucking snort heroin in your house, why not? If you're 21. If you want to go home and smoke weed in your house, why not? You can drink. You know, all the drugs and stuff that I ever did, the only one that ever brought scars and stitches and heartbreak was alcohol. But that one's legal. You know, everything should be legal. Now, if you come and lay out in the street and pass out and overdose, well, then you need to have a conversation with somebody of authority, I guess. But, you know, it's just a way of keeping people in the system, creating revenue off these people, keeping a thumb on you, never allowing people to, you know, listen, we all make mistakes. Maybe some people don't. I don't know. I've made plenty. I mean, I got a DUI. I was on probation for a year. You know, if I'd slipped up, I'd fallen right back into it. Another fine, more classes, more bullshit. It's like, for what? You know, if it was really about helping people, it would be one thing, but it's really about, I feel like it's about creating revenue. You know, and I'm not a historian, but from what I gather, you know, when the slaves were freed and everything was over, you know, they kept arresting these people and keeping them on work, chain gangs and keeping them in the system and in the system and in the system, never allowing them, but not being slaves, you know, but legally stuck in the system. And that's kind of what happens now. You know, you get in a little trouble. Next thing you know, you're on probation. You're drug testing. And then you're doing that dance. Yeah, it's crazy. Well, I know a way to avoid all of that, and that's by sobriety and being sober. Falling in love with sobriety. You know, I stayed sober a long time just out of the fear of drinking. But that fear fades. That addiction starts softening all the edges, painting it in a different light. You know, I may have said this before, but if you'd asked me the day after, you know, April 1st, 1997, what happened? I'd be like, oh my God, I got punched in the mouth and I got stitches and ooh, it's terrible. I'm so ashamed and embarrassed. But if you asked me today, I'd be like, yeah, it was a couple stitches. It wasn't that bad. Because that my addiction is to soften that memory. It wasn't until I fell in love with sobriety and that freedom and that ability to take moments that I'm afraid and full of fear and worry and be able to sit down and say, listen, let's if anything, let's just get back to the moment. We're in the moment, you know, I'm safe. You know, I know that, you know, I'm doing the best I can. I'm doing the right thing. And I love it. I love being sober. And I suggest anybody try it. And hopefully you haven't had to say sorry today.
These apartment walls are paper thin, and no one is trying to listen in. What to hear our doubts, hear our whispered shouts, they don't care. Wasn't it you said I was not free? Wasn't it you said I needed peace? And now it's you floored by fear of it all, and it's alright.
hope everyone has a great day.